Wow, what a beautiful, wonderful, exciting decoration we have here today. From a steam engine, to a train station, to a water tower, to railroad crossings, and if you go down the hallways, there's railroad tracks everywhere. So watch your step this morning as we prepare for our Vacation Bible School this week. And it'll also continue into next week. So we're going to see our sanctuary after this morning transform from a worship center to a ministry center. And that is what we're all about in reaching out to our community and also encouraging and strengthening our members as well. So we pray for God's blessing upon this vital ministry of our congregation. And the theme this year is Rocky Railroad, Jesus' Power Pulls Us Through, and indeed he does. So let's begin for the purpose for which we have gathered here this morning, and that is to give praise and honor and glory to God, our Father, and his Son Jesus, and the Spirit that flows from them into us, creating faith in our hearts and our minds, taking our prayers before the Father daily, and also inspired the Scriptures to be written for our learning. What a blessing that is for us to know him as he is. And he has given us his name and has revealed that name in a very unique way. So we begin now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Good morning, Lord. We come to you in Jesus' name, as you desire us to do. We thank you for blessing us with another day of life. Be with us this morning as we gather together to worship and praise your holy name and to celebrate your presence among us. May your Spirit continue to dwell within us that we may fully appreciate your redeeming love. Be with us now as we honor you with our presence. Amen. Let us now confess our sins together. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I announce the forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with the singing of our hymn.
Just cry out to you, the mountains. I'm sure there we are. Good. My name is Darwin Krauss. I'm your elder this morning, and we're going to read from the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We find Paul a little upset this morning, and he was trying to prove to the people that he did not need a letter to show that he was a representative of Christ. And so he was a little upset. And so he says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the results of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is the word of the Lord.
All aboard for the children's message. There are no kids here today? Okay. I can do it by myself. Not a problem. All right, well, can you guess what I'm going to talk about today? Fire engines. Come on up. Airplanes. What am I going to talk about today? Have a seat. What am I going to talk about today? Congregation? Trains, yeah. We're going to have in person, Miss Lauren, VBS. In person VBS. And that we are so excited. We're so excited. Last summer didn't feel like a summer with no VBS, did it? And that too. Hi, hello. And that. So I'm going to talk about some trains. I got some trains here today. Well, hold on. I know. First of all, I've got. Whoop! It fell apart.
Ooh, diesel train.
Yep. I'm going to talk about that. I have a Coca-Cola train, of course. Of course. Of course. All right. So I bet it fell apart there. And I have my HO train set here. I have, what's this?
A diesel train.
It's a diesel engine. That's correct.
Yes, and those are some are towing around the world.
Well, correct. Well, correct. All right. And I also have.
We got a train set.
I also have boxcar. And I also have.
A caboose.
Wait. A tandem car.
Yeah.
And I also have a coal car. Yep.
Which. I'm going to show you something. We'll flip it over and look at that. So coal comes out of it.
Correct. Smart kid. I'm glad he's here today. All right. And you don't see these anymore.
Caboose.
I have a caboose. You don't see those anymore, do you? All right. Well, all right. Have a seat, guys. Have a seat. All right. So we're going to talk about trains today, and especially this thing right here. This engine, or the engines of the train, pull the cars of the train down the track. Without that engine, the cars wouldn't move. Well, guess who is our engine in life?
Jesus.
Jesus is, yes. Jesus' power pulls us through life. That's a VBS theme, I think. Jesus' power pulls us through. And without Jesus' power, we wouldn't be where we are today. Have we had a very interesting last year? Oh, yes, we have, haven't we? Oh, yeah. There's a lot happened in the last 12, 15 months in that. And if we had not had Jesus' power pulling us through, we would not be here today, even in in-person church and that too. So let's thank God for that, please. Echo what I pray here, please. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. We know and trust that his power will pull us through anything that life gives us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope to see many of you at Vacation Bible School this week and next week as we're going to learn about Jesus' power pulling us through. Thanks, boys and girls. I guess boys, no girls. Yeah. Oh, there's a girl there. All right.
We invite all those also from 4 years to the fourth grade who would like to do so to go to our children's worship this morning while the rest of us remain in here to listen to a teaching from Jesus. Thank you, Merv. We appreciate that. Wonderful. Our sermon scripture reading for today is taken from Mark chapter 3. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about what he was doing, many people came from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to be touched by him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Well, good morning. It's always a privilege and an honor to be able to fill in on the days that Pastor Bob has family obligations. And it's always an honor to be up here instead of sitting where you are to be your worship leader for today. So let's get into the narrative of a very busy and hectic day in the life of our Savior. It had begun years before, a time when he was only an infant. That day he was taken to the temple for his circumcision. It was there that they met a lady. Her hair was gray, and her skin was wrinkled, and perhaps her hand trembled as she touched the face of the infant. But there was nothing senile about the word she would speak. She then whispered, "This is the one. This is he who we were waiting for. This indeed is God's Messiah." Anna should know. She had been praying and fasting in the temple for 8 decades. Such faithful servants of the Lord have a way of knowing answered prayers when they see it. And they always seem to have a way of not giving up when they don't. Now, as the years passed, the infant had become a man. Not just an ordinary man, but one that was sought after for the hope of mankind and the renewal of wrecked lives. It was to be a day of intense activity. From sunrise to sunset, it was to be a setting for emotional extremes for our Lord, as well as for anyone's life, for that matter. It would be a day in which Jesus experienced more stress than he will on any other day of his life, aside from his trial and his crucifixion. Before the morning becomes evening, he had every reason to cry, to run, to shout, and even to praise his Father. From calm to chaos, from peace to perplexity. In the midst of it all, there is one lesson that comforts all who knew him. It is simply this: that Jesus cares, and he knows how we feel in the various circumstances in our lives. Whether it's a life full of demands or a trail of sorrows and disappointments or perhaps important celebrations to remember. Some have asked if God in heaven can really care about one's circumstances and situations on earth. Throughout his ministry, whenever hands were extended towards him and voices demanded relief from him, Jesus always responded. He responds with kindness, love, and understanding that brings great healing. Matthew and Mark recorded that Jesus had spent that day healing the sick. Not just some of them, not just the deserving ones among the sick, but all of them who begged for his touch. One wonders, within such a large crowd of thousands, there must have been a few people unworthy of good health. There were probably those in the crowd who would use their newfound health to hurt others. And during those pressing moments of maddening moments, Jesus released tongues that may someday end up cursing God. He gave sight to the eyes that perhaps someday would lust after many multiple pleasures of the earth. And he healed hands that may someday end up killing another. But he healed them all anyway. And yes, some of those begging for a cure that day would cry for his blood months later. But he healed them anyway. As always, our Lord's goodness was extended by his grace-filled nature, not by one's worthiness. The day had begun by Jesus hearing about the death of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was his cousin, also his forerunner, also his co-worker, and his friend. Imagine the reaction when he was told that his best friend had been decapitated by a people-pleasing ruler. The messengers who brought such news of sorrow to him also brought him a warning that the same Herod who took John's head is also interested in his. For Herod had said, "I beheaded John. Who is this that I hear about doing such things?" And from that moment on, he tried attempts to find him. So with John's life taken and his own life threatened, Jesus desired to get away for a while. But before he could get away, his disciples arrived with reports of all that they had done and taught, followed by many miracles, from driving out demons to healing the sick. The air was full of excitement for them as they shared their exploits with their master. And remembering that these disciples were just ordinary men, made up of fishermen, a tax collector, common laborers, who by God's power had taken the nation by storm. And now look who follows the disciples to locate Jesus. There were rivers of people cascading out of the hills and villages. They swarm all around Jesus, each one with unmet desires and hopes, to meet the man who had empowered these disciples with such miraculous effects. What had begun as a calm morning now buzzes with frantic activity. So many people were coming and going that no one had time for rest or a meal. When Jesus saw the people, he always saw opportunities to love and care for them. But when the disciples saw these people, they saw only countless problems for them. Imagine that day. If full of confusion and expectations. Imagine what our Lord faced that day. First of all, intense sorrow over the savage death of his friend. He also had immediate threats that he was hunted by authorities at every encounter he had. He experienced immeasurable joy, discussion with his disciples, triumphant return. He experienced intense crowds, countless masses of people following him everywhere. He also experienced insensitive interruptions when he sought rest and got instead more people. He also experienced incredible demands, crowds struggling for his touch. But the calm within Jesus never faded. What a day of nonstop activity, and yet it was far from over. Jesus decided to take his disciples to a quiet place to rest and reflect. They worked their way to the beach, climbed into a boat, and for a few precious moments upon the water, the world was quiet again, and the noise of the crowds grew distant. However, the crowds learn of their destination and on the other side of the lake, and by the time they reach Bethsaida, his desired retreat had become a roaring arena. And as we also face many circumstances in our lives, Jesus knows how we feel. He knows what it's like to be interrupted by others' needs and desires. He knows what it's like to endure heavy tragedies. He knows what it's like to wrestle with countless fears and the anxieties of man. Perhaps that's why portions of this day are recorded in all four Gospels. No other event, other than the events surrounding his crucifixion and resurrection, are told by all four Gospel writers. But this day is to be recorded and to be remembered. For every page of Scripture hammers home the crucial principle that God knows how we feel in all of life's situations. Whether it's pressures at work, or times when impossible demands are made of us, or times when people take more from us than we can imagine. The miracle God had in store for us was his desire to love and to care for us. That was when he voluntarily became one with us. He placed himself in our position. He suffered our pains and felt our fears. He took on himself our faults, and he bore our blame. Have we ever experienced rejection in our lives? He felt it too. Have we ever confronted temptations in our lives? He knew it also. Ever have unbreakable stress? He touched it also. Ever face a chasm of loneliness? He experienced it as well. Ever come face to face with the horrors of death? He tasted it as well. Jesus arrived for us. He lived the perfect life that was demanded of us, that we could not do. And he suffered the penalty of death that we all deserved in order to set us free. His love for us is so great that he battled hell itself to protect us, and he paid the great price in order to take us home. At the end of the day, Jesus confided to his friends, "Just remember this. You will go nowhere in life that I haven't already been. For this is the truth of God that will always triumph. Death will still die, and the victory he earned is ours forever. To God be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll now continue with the singing of our next hymn. Let us now continue our worship this morning by speaking together the confession of our Christian faith and the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, good morning, young lady. How are you today? At this time, I would like to invite all of those serving in some way with Vacation Bible School this week and the next, and all the children who will be attending VBS to come forward as we dedicate you to all of our serving and our families in Jesus this way. If you'll come forward at this time. Even our chief engineer is coming forward. Keep track to the caboose, right? That's right. Jesus once told his disciples, "Let the little children come to me, for they are part of the kingdom of God." This week and next, you will be helping little children come to Jesus to learn about his great love for them, and especially learn that he has taken away their sins and will one day bring them to be with him in heaven. Each of you has a special way to serve and teach the children who will come to St. Mark's over the next 2 weeks. Some of you are preparing snacks. Some of you are preparing crafts. Many of you are teachers and teacher helpers, and some of you will be parking lot supervisors and the cleanup crew. That's me. And you children will be little missionaries telling your friends about Jesus. Already some of you have done great decorating and construction work, as we can see all around our campus. God blesses each of us with talents and skills, and so we are so glad to see how each of you are putting them to good use for his children. Best of all, we get to show Jesus' love to the children who come here to learn about him, to show Jesus' love with our smiles and encouraging words, our happy hearts and the lessons they will be taught, as well as the joy we share with our young students and their parents. Let us now join in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to have so many of our friends and neighbors gathered here at our church for Vacation Bible School this summer. You have blessed us with a church and a school that teaches others of your great love and our days of VBS to help reach deeply into our community, to share your love with many who otherwise may not hear such good news. Please watch over all who are involved with our VBS and bless our ministry to these children and their families. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I now dedicate each and every one of you as a special servant of God as you go about your service to him in our Vacation Bible School this year. Thank you all, and you may return to your seats. Blessings. We have a litany of prayer requests for this day. Our first one is that the Lord in his wisdom took our good friend and St. Mark's member, Ken Bax, to his heavenly home on Thursday. We praise God for his life and ask for the Lord's mercy and peace for his wife, Carol, and their loved ones. Carol would like for you to know that Ken's visitation and funeral will be here at St. Mark's on Friday, June the 11th. Visitation will begin at 10:30 or 10 o'clock, and the funeral will be at 11, and all are welcome. Prayers are also requested for the family of one of our MOPS members. Roxanne Hendricks and her family were in an auto accident this last weekend in Colorado. Her husband, Neil, a Marine, was killed, and Roxanne and her four children were slightly injured. This has been very difficult for not only Roxanne and the children, but for all the MOPS mothers in our group. We are very thankful that Neil was a strong Christian man, and we know that he is with his Savior Jesus. We keep his family and all of the MOPS mothers in our prayers. We also pray on behalf of Shelley Mead, Ron, and Ruth Mosette, daughter, was thrown from a golf cart last weekend and has suffered a concussion. Ruth is in Texas with her, and Shelley is recovering at home. We also pray for her complete recovery. We offer prayers of thanksgiving for Jerry Krause's successful knee replacement surgery last Thursday, as well as for Darwin and Gary's son, Dusty, who had a hip replacement the same day in the same hospital by the same doctor. Now they ask for prayers, and indeed they should, as they recover from these surgeries. Also, our friend Don Barker continues to weaken, and we continue our prayers for him and Ellie. And last but not least, Mary Bolscholtie is continuing to improve, and we praise God for this great blessing of her life. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, remember us, O Lord, as your congregation, for we are your children. We are your family. For we are nothing without you. We need the word of your forgiveness. We need the comfort and solace. We need healing and help. We need courage and strength. We need counsel and guidance. We need food and shelter. We need correction and admonition. We need acceptance and assurance. We need zeal and a willing mind. We need example and direction. We need charity and goodness. We need humility and honesty. We need liberty and peace. We need wisdom and insight. We need faith and hope. We need love and joy. We are your people, gathered by your Spirit around word and sacraments this morning, that we may one day be scattered to share your love of Christ with so many others. Our prayers today for the many that we have mentioned, family members, friends and connections to this ministry, some with sadness of the death of a loved one, others great sorrow over the sickness of those they love the most. We also have moments of celebration of successful surgeries. We also pray for those who are weakening in this life that we have on earth, only to be strengthened evermore for the life that is to come. And we also celebrate the improvement of so much health of our loved ones. For these and all other prayers, Lord, we bring before you in the words that your Son, our one and only Savior, has taught us all to pray as family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to each of them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do in remembrance of me." And now may the eating and the drinking of our Lord's body and his blood strengthen and preserve you all in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Receive now the blessing of our Lord this day as the children of Israel gathered first of all at Mount Sinai before Moses and Aaron. God spoke from the mountain and said, "Never let my people leave the presence of worship without these words dedicated to me." And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. We'll now sing our closing hymn.
Doubts behind. I'm giving my hopes and dreams. and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day.
It's a pleasure being with you this morning for worship. I have one commercial. I'm promoting myself. If you don't promote yourself, no one will, right? Okay. For those of you who are interested in our Bible study this morning, we're going to be holding it here in the sanctuary at 9:30. It's an interesting topic. It has to do with Jesus' earthly family and what kind of relationship he had with them throughout his life. It's very, very interesting. Did you know Jesus had brothers? The scripture even gives us their names. And he also had sisters and how he related to them at various times in his earthly life. So we invite you to come and join us, if you will. We're going to have a great time together. Lord's richest blessings, go now in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.